So let's be clear. It's not called swine flu anymore. Technically, it's H1N1 influenza A, and you can't get it from eating pork. Nonetheless, for a whole variety of reasons, down through history, pigs have had a problem. Sure, they're adorable in pictures, but up close, they're disgusting. And religions actually ban them as unclean. We'd like to discuss the challenges of making pig attractive and pork attractive. The other white meat, the National Pork Board came up with that. And what about this song? Beer Grilled Chops. No, that's not AC/DC. That's a song from the National Pork Board, attempting to upgrade the image of pigs in an environment where, in fact, pigs have a problem. Cindy Gallup is here, advertising consultant and former chairman of the ad agency BBH. Her new project is If We Ran the World, a startup that will use crowdsourcing to match people who want to do good with local projects. Welcome back to the program, Cindy.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
Pigs have always had a problem. The other white meat attempts to address the issue, but now you got swine flu. As an advertiser, how do you begin to think about the branding issues for pork?
Well, I think the important thing is to say that rebranding per se is not the answer, because in an unfortunately apposite saying, if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
We've heard that.
I love that.
So the answer really, I think, is to make people think completely differently about pork and therefore feel differently about pork. And in the first instance, you really want to try and get people to do that job for you. So I would recommend beginning by getting your most passionate proponents to actually help you with that task, because for people who weren't particularly keen on pork to begin with, it's very easy to get militant about not eating something that you weren't planning to eat.
So in a sense, the issue is a little easier if you focus on bacon and maybe leave the pork out of it.
Absolutely. I have to say that the three most depressing words in the world are life without bacon.
Listen to her.
Well, now, you know, you have the kosher baconaise and all that, because even people who can't eat bacon want to eat bacon. So they just have bacon-flavored products. You know, in some countries, pork is, you know, my sister, who has been a vegetarian at certain points in her life, was in Spain, and she was like, I couldn't find anything but cheese and pork. It was like ham, ham, more ham, and more ham. America has a different relationship to the meat, but how do you think the meat in general fares in the States in the cuisine?
Well, I think actually that currently pork is obviously one of a number of different choices right. That you can make, which is why the other white meat. I think what the pork industry should be doing now is making people really feel passionately about the idea of pork and what would happen if pork were taken away by the people who are getting militant about it. And by the way, this is also obviously a global issue which could be addressed in the same way. So, you know, one of the starting points I'd advocate is finding the people who are passionate about particular aspects of pork. Bacon is a great one for us.
Right.
You know, elsewhere in the world, you know, to your point in Spain or Europe, it's charcuterie generally. In China, many, many pork dishes. And to get the people who are absolutely passionate about pork to start a groundswell movement, a grassroots movement, to go protect our pork.
Have you ever met anyone who's passionate about pig brains?
Do you know?
I haven't myself.
I'm a big fan of brains, but I'm a big fan of offal, and I'm quite unusual.
I see. Does pork have a problem in the sense that it's an uphill battle even when you begin? Excuse me for a second. And what if the swine flu was not the swine flu, but was the sugar flu or the chocolate flu? Would it be as serious a problem to try to, turn it around?
Well, it absolutely wouldn't be, because if you were to say to people, oh, my God, chocolate is bad for you, don't eat it. You would encounter huge resistance because people love chocolate. So if the chocolate industry were to be countering a similar scenario, they would have a much easier task on their hands. I mean, for example, you know, the sheer joy and happiness that chocolate brings to many of us, just the depiction of a world without chocolate and, you know, something around the thought of, you know, you don't live longer if you stop eating chocolate, it just feels that way, would really speak to people very, very easily.
So in the past, who's done this really, really well? I mean, the horrible case, of course, is Tylenol, which went from being a benign medication to a killer during the Tylenol scare, when contaminated Tylenol resulted in cyanide deaths of people who ate packaging that was broken into. How does the Tylenol model help us here?
Well, do you know, interestingly, John, I don't think it does, because the fact of the matter is that you cannot contract swine flu from eating pork. I mean, the facts are actually there. The trouble, of course, is that when you are the pork industry saying this, everybody feels you've got a vested interest in protecting your own. And so it's a lot harder to believe you. So there isn't a precedent in the sense that the rational facts are there, but people feel very emotional.
So the reaction, the corporate reaction to something like this can actually set you back a bit.
It can potentially, but what I would really recommend to the pork industry is that they take a much more proactive and much more imaginative approach to this issue. So, for example, if I were them, I would literally be tackling this at a global level. I would be uniting with pork industry representation everywhere, and I would do something like hold very quickly World Eat Pork and Live Day,
so
by
like
which I mean
Pig Aid. Like a rock concert or something like that.
Actually, I would get representatives of the pork industry in every country in the world to have one day where the entire world comes together and those representatives very publicly eat pork, bring their families, consume pork, show that it's safe, and invite people to join them for free to
we
actually sample pork.
We are the world. We eat
Absolutely.
The bacon, right?
Absolutely.
Well, the oddest pork story I heard was a friend who lived in Mombasa and said that there were underground pork restaurants because it's a highly Muslim area, so you never know.
That's another angle you could take. Actually, maximize pork's renegade status. Create the secret society of pork eaters, mobilize an underground movement, pork resistance. And actually, the moment you give something a dangerous contraband feel, it becomes enormously attractive to a lot of people.
Don't be safe. Eat pork.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. Great advice from Cindy Gallup, advertising consultant and former chairman of the ad agency BBH. Her new project, she's founder and CEO of If We Ran the World, a startup that will use crowdsourcing to match people who want to do good with local projects. Thank you, Cindy.
Pleasure.